الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، الحمد لله رب. We continue with the seerah of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we have reached the 8th year of Hijrah, which is the year of the victory, عام الفتح. وقد And this is from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah from his Qasas al-Anbiya. He said, وَقَدْ نَقَدَتْ قُرَيْشُ الْعَهْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ غَزَى مَكَّةَ فِي جُنْدٍ كَثِيفٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يُقَارِبُ عَشْرَةَ آلَافٍ. He said that the Quraysh have gone against their ahd, gone against the contract between them and the Muslims. And so the Prophet ﷺ gathered his soldiers of 10,000 to go into Mecca and to enter Mecca with 10,000 strong men. And he entered it. And subhanAllah, here Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said he entered it, and he entered it having lowering his head. Yani he didn't enter it with pride and arrogance, looking up. Ibn Kathir said, وَدَخَلَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَكَّةَ وَهُوَ رَاكِبٌ عَلَى نَاقَتِهِ. He entered Mecca while he's riding his camel. وَعَلَى رَأْسِهِ الْمِغْفَرِ. And upon his head is a helmet. ورأسه يكاد يمس مقدمة الرحل. And his head, it was as if it was about to touch the camel's, or the front of the camel, or the front of the saddle, meaning that he was lowered, his head was lowered. من تواضعه, from his humility, لربه, towards his Lord Azza wa Jal. That's how he entered Mecca. Wasn't arrogance, wasn't looking up, I'm proud and I've now got victory, now we're 10,000 strong. No, he entered with humility, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثم تممها, Sheikh Sa'di continues, ثم تممها بغزوة حنين على حواز وثقيف. Then he completed this victory with the Ghazwat Hunayn. And likewise he said, فَتَمَّ بِذَلِكَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. And the Nasr of Allah was complete for the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims. He entered Mecca, not one blood was shed. There was no bloodshed, alhamdulillah. And the people entered into Islam wholeheartedly. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the victory of Allah comes, and the victory, وَالْفَتْحِ, the opening of Mecca. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدُخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see the people coming to the religion of Allah in large multitudes. وَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدُخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. فَسَبِّحْ. This is the command from Allah. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Then glorify the praises of Allah and seek His forgiveness, because everything is from Allah. Victory is from Allah. It's not from the servant. Even Rasulullah ﷺ in the battle of Uhud, and he said, how can a nation prosper? They allow the Messenger ﷺ to be treated like this, because his head was hit until his head bled, and his right tooth, incisor tooth, was chipped. And he said, how can a nation prosper? They allow this to happen to their prophet. And then Allah revealed, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. The command doesn't belong to you. The affair does not belong to you, O Rasulullah. The affair belongs to Allah. Victory belongs to Allah. All the affairs belong to Allah. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرِ. To Him belongs the command and the affair. So the victory belongs to Allah. You give victory to His deen, Allah will give victory to you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Give victory to his deen, Allah will give victory to you, and he will make your feet firmly established. And Allah said, وَلَا يَنْصُرُنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. And Allah will give victory to those who give victory to his deen. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Surah Al-Ra'd. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah will not change a people, the condition of a people, until they change what is within themselves. All goes back to Allah, and Allah placed conditions for victory. And the Prophet brought about those conditions, and that is Tawheed, Aqeedah, Ikhlas, Ittiba', Tawheed and Sunnah. Following, worshipping Allah alone, and following the Sunnah of the Messenger, and Allah established the deen of Allah upon the earth. And this is exactly what Allah said in Surah Nur, verse 65. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّلِحَاتِ. Verse 55. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّلِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah's promise is to amongst those who believe. Not everybody will get the promise. Amongst those who believe. And they have to believe correctly. عَقِيدَ صَحِيحًا. Why are we going over the correct belief? Correct belief in Allah and His angels and His books and the last day, and the messengers, and the pre-decree, the correct belief in the six beliefs. You have to have the correct belief. If you want victory, the promise will come. The aid of Allah will come. But not everybody will get it, because you have to have the correct belief. Allah said, minkum, amongst you who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds. When is a deed good? When it's according to the sunnah. As for bid'ah, Shababarat, Mawlid al-Nabi, Bid'ah beads, Bid'ah ticket counter, Bid'ah is rejected. Bid'ah in Aqeedah, Bid'ah in methodology, all of the Bid'ahs are rejected. Amilu salihat, they have to do good deeds. Wa'ad, promise from Allah. Wa'ad Allahu ladina amanu minkum amilu salihat, la yastakhlifannahum fil ardi. Look what you will get. You will get khilafa upon the earth. You want victory, you want leadership, ruling to rule by Allah's deen and Allah's way. Then how would you be able to get that if you don't establish the correct aqidah? And you don't establish the correct sunnah in your amal? How is your amal salih when it's upon bid'ah? Or without ikhlas? لَيْسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Memorize this verse, because this is the verse you will defeat every takfiri, every hizbi, ikhwani, from the ikhwan al-muslimin, the followers of Hassan al-Banna, and Sayyid Qutb and other than them. You will defeat all of those confusions that they lay about. Saying, doesn't matter, we're all together, we all... No. It's not about just gathering the numbers. It's about the haqq going forward. Yes, Muslim is my brother, he's a Muslim brother. But is the aqidah correct? Is the methodology correct? Brother, don't talk. Don't. We want to unite. Unite upon what? Upon corruption? Or unite upon a basis? Unite upon bid'ah? Unite upon Ya Rasulullah, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah? No. Unite upon Ya Allah, calling Allah alone. And following Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not saying Ya Rasulullah, help us. Or calling the peer in his grave. Or when somebody dies, you bring out the Qur'an, you start doing khatam. Bid'ah upon bid'ah. Qur'an is for the living, not for the dead. It's for the living. You know, when someone dies, then you take off the dust from the top of it, then you read it. Now you're going to read the Qur'an? SubhanAllah. Qur'an's for the living. So the Messenger of Allah gave him that victory. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Give them victory upon the earth. Khilafah. لَيْسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Like he gave it to those before them. وَلَيْمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ وَلَذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And he made their deen firmly established for them, that which is made pleasing for them. وَلَيْبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And he will change their state of fear to that of security. Allahu Akbar. People complain about insecurity in Syria, and insecurity in Palestine, and insecurity in Iraq. Why don't you follow this verse and then you will have security, because Allah promises, إِنَّ مِعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ, and Allah does not go against His promise. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and who is better in speech than Allah? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and who is most truthful in speech than Allah? Allah speaks the truth, and He promised us. Did Allah not keep the promise? Of course not, you cannot say that. Allah kept the promise, and He keeps the promise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. And the Qur'an is haq. And if they were to follow this verse in Surah An-Nur, verse 65, then they would be upon security. Don't have security because they didn't follow this verse. I don't say they means the Muslims, us, we. As an ummah, if we follow this verse, we'll have security. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِمْ أَمْنًا. What is the other condition he mentioned after that? يَعْبُدُونَنِي. They worship me alone. لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. They don't commit shirk with me in anything. They're upon tawheed and away from shirk. But then look at the ummah. People going to the graves calling upon the dead. People going to the peer and asking him for help for things that only Allah can bring about. Look at these Tahir Qadri, these Sufis, Brelvis. People crying in front of them like they are groveling, scared, afraid. And then they give them money on the side. What is this? It's not a game. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. This deen is not a game. They will be accountable يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ for cheating the people. And they lie. They come with stories, oh, I had a dream. And the dream said that, in the dream, Tahir Qadri said this, I had a dream. In the dream, he said, the Prophet Muhammad SAW is upset with you, people of Pakistan. Why? Because you didn't get me a ticket to come over. SubhanAllah. You want a plane ticket to come over? Pay for it with your own money, akhi. Stop begging from the people. You had a dream, and in that dream you saw Rasulullah, and he said, and he's upset with the people of Pakistan because why? They didn't give him a ticket. Allah yahdik. This is how low your da'wah is. Our da'wah is not about begging. Our da'wah is about qala Allah, qala Rasulullah, qala Sahaba. This is the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To follow what Allah mentioned and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he mentioned, and the ijma' of the Sahaba. Not to beg from the people and to lie to them that you had a dream. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told you. SubhanAllah. And what do they have as well? You go to the Bradley Masjid, you always see an empty seat in the front row. Empty seat on the front row. Why? Because they say, that's for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go to every Bradley Mosque and you always see the seat, empty seat. Which mosque is he going to pray in? The one in Norwich, or the one in Ipswich, or the one in Liverpool, or the one in Manchester, or the one in London? How many empty seats are there and how many Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you have? SubhanAllah. And on his birthday, they bring him an empty seat. How is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's going to pray behind you. Because they put the seat in the front row. And who's leading the prayer? Somebody else. SubhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who led the Sahaba in prayer. And you're going to lead him in Salah? What is this? And we will come to it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he died, the Sahaba was so remorseful and so sad and so respectful for him that even the janazah prayer, they didn't pray in jama'ah. Why? Because no one wanted to lead the janazah prayer over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love that they had for him, the honor they had for him. They came and they prayed janazah on their own. And we know the sunnah is to pray in jama'ah. But Sahaba, the respect they had for him, they prayed on him. But these Brelvis and Sufis, they're leading Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the prayer according to them. By putting an empty seat. And which seat his prayer is there? Allahu A'lam. So may Allah protect us from this ignorance that these people are upon. May Allah protect us and protect our communities and our children from bid'ah. And make us love the sunnah and love Rasulullah by following him. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ If you truly love Allah, you will follow the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You will follow the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is often forgiving, most merciful. Most of these mosques, the Baldi mosques and the Deobandi mosques, all infighting between this tribe and that tribe. You have the nerve. They have a Baldi mosque in East London called Masjid E. Umar. I don't know why they get the E from. Masjid D. Umar. If you go, I don't know where the E came from. But anyway, this Masjid, Masjid Umar, subhanAllah. And on the Shura, the committee, you have to be Gujarati to be on the committee. So even if Umar radiallahu anhu was alive today, he won't be allowed in the committee because he's not Gujarati. SubhanAllah. And in some other mosque, you have just Somalian mosque or just Arab mosque. Who is this? The mosque of this Ahl Sunnah is a mosque for all colors, all cultures. And that is one of the signs of the saved sect. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are nuza' min al-qaba'il. They are apart from every tribe. And you come to this masjid. You have in this masjid Somalian brothers from Pakistan, from India, even though they don't get together on cricket, they're still here in the masjid, alhamdulillah. They still get along in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik. We had Arabs, we have people become Muslim, people from different countries, Algeria, Morocco. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Nuzza' min al-qaba'il. And they get together. Why? Because of Kalimat al-Tawheed, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And testification to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the 8th year of Hijriyah was a blessed year for the believers. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw the politicians have harmed him, they thought they're going to be killed. He said, Antum al-Tulaqa, you are the freed ones. He let them free, let them go. Khalas, let them go. And many became Muslim when they saw the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Established the deen of Allah uppermost. Allahu Akbar. And in the 9th year of Hijriyah, Shaykh al-Sa'di says, Ghaza Tabuk. He gathered an army to go to Tabuk. But it was difficult. Medina to Tabuk is a long way, about 1,000 kilometers. And you're going in the heat. وَلَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ إِلَّا أَهْلَ الْأَعْضَارِ And none stopped going to Tabuk except those who had excuse. A valid excuse, maybe due to illness, maybe to sickness. And the munafiqun, they also did not go to Tabuk. Hypocrites. And three from the righteous of the Sahaba did not go. And amongst them is Ka'b ibn Malik. The story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and his two companions. And Ka'b, after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, Ka'b was remorseful. So remorseful of not going. And he was truthful. And he waited for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal their forgiveness. وَكَانَ الْوَقْتُ شَدِيدًا وَالْحَرْ شَدِيدًا It was a difficult time and much heat. And the enemies were many. And even on the way they would eat, they didn't have much food. On the way they would eat locusts. They would get the jarad, locusts. And they would eat those insects on the way because of the lack of food. فَوَصَلَ تَبُوكَ And the difficult journey. So when they arrived in Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ stayed there 20 days. And no killing occurred, alhamdulillah. No fighting occurred. Those who accepted easily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed regarding Tabuk a surah, Surah At-Tawbah, where he mentioned the acceptance in forgiving Ka'b ibn Malik and his two companions. In forgiving Ka'b because of his sincerity in openly speaking the truth. He didn't hide. And the Prophet ﷺ accepted that. But even he was remorseful, and even he said, I was in a good situation to go, but I didn't go. And he told the Messenger of Allah the truth. And he was remorseful. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. But the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah did not reveal anything on you. They were waiting for revelation. 30 days plus, no revelation. They're still waiting for revelation regarding Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Their families were not supposed to approach them. They're not to stay with their relatives, to be with their relatives. They were alone, away. No one's supposed to talk to them. And he even, Allah mentioned that the earth, daqat alayhim al-ard, even the earth became narrow for them. Wa daqat alayhim anfusuhum, even their selves became narrowed amongst themselves, yani for themselves, meaning that it became constricted, became sad and distressful. SubhanAllah. But Ka'b was sincere. And he spoke the truth. And he knew it was a mistake. And he waited for the forgiveness of Allah. And as for the hypocrites, then they were known. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that tawbah, so the tawbah against the hypocrites, exposing them for what they were upon. And his tawbah was mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him with that because of his sincerity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah At-Tawbah, and he accepted the tawbah. وفي مطاوي هذه الغزوات يذكر الله آيات الجهاد وفرضه وفضله وثواب أهله. And also in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the verses regarding jihad and its obligation and its superiority or its virtue and the reward for it. And jihad is not the jihad that you hear in 9/11 or 7/7. That's not the jihad. Or the shoe bomber or the pants bomber. That's not jihad. That's corruption. That's fasad. That's corruption. Because in jihad you don't kill women and children. In jihad you don't kill innocent men, women and children. You don't kill men, women and children. You don't kill men that are not in a battlefield. You don't go around killing neighbors. You don't go around killing people on a plane. That's not jihad. Jihad is a legitimate battle that is in a battlefield where the two parties are facing each other. The two enemies are facing each other. Not going around killing people in the streets of London or killing people in a concert in Manchester. All of that is corruption, and all of that is as the Messenger described about those people who do it, Sufaha'ul Ahlam, they are foolish in their dreams. Huddatha'ul Asnan, they are young in their teeth. They do cause more corruption. They leave Islam as the arrow enters the hunted animal when it is hunted. That's how they leave Islam. So some scholars like Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimullah of Saudi Arabia said they're not even Muslim, these Khawarij. And look, London Bridge. In Ramadan, and we are praying Taraweeh. What are they doing? Going to restaurants, killing people. In Ramadan, at the time of prayer. So are these Muslims? A'udhu billah. That is not the actions of Muslims. That is not jihad. Jihad is to remove oppression, not to cause oppression. Not to bring about harm upon the community. Rather is to help. And jihad is of different types. There's jihad of da'wah, calling the people to Islam, like the brothers who go around and CC da'wah, and they go to city to city calling, and they argue in ways that are better with Christians and Jews, and try to invite them and show them where the truth is with the Quran. That is jihad. Jihad is you and me getting up for Fajr. That's jihad. Jihad is you and me helping somebody who's car has broken down. That's jihad. All of that is form of jihad, because jihad in Arabic means to strive. To strive. And it has different different actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. That is jihad. To remove oppression, to aid the one in need. So Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah said, Allah mentioned that in this, as being fadl, as being a virtue. And what will the people get of humiliation, those who go against the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of humiliation and a punishment that is ajil, that is ajil in this life, sooner than later. So in this time, the ninth year Hijriyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some other laws, regulations, as the deen was being completed. And in the ninth, towards the end of the ninth, and then the tenth Hijriyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted Hajj, the fifth pillar of Islam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hajj bin Nas and At-Tis. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did Hajj for the people on the ninth year of Hijrah. The ninth year of Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ allowed him to do the Hajj. Naam. ثم حج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمسلمين. Then on the 10th year Hijriyah, the Prophet ﷺ went out with the Muslims to do the Hajj. And they came in large multitudes. And Allah revealed those ayat regarding Hajj. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّةَ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And complete the Hajj and the Umrah for Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعِ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And to Allah, upon the people, is the Hajj to the house of Allah for whoever is able to. And that ability means two things. Ability financially, you're able to pay for the Hajj. And second, you have the health in order to go on a form of transport. And there's lots of rulings regarding that, or the proofs regarding that. When the woman came to the Prophet and said, my father is old, Rajulun Kabir. He's not able to go on his rahila, on his camel. Can I do Hajj for him on his behalf? Prophet ﷺ allowed it to do Hajj on his behalf, even though he was alive, but he didn't have the ability. So long as she did it for herself initially, then she can do it for him afterwards. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, Al Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al Islam deena. This day have I perfected the religion upon you, made pleasing for you Islam as your religion. Perfected. What can you add to perfection? It's perfect. فَلَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الْعُلُومِ نَافِعَ النَّافِعَ يعني علم إِلَّا بَيَّنَهُ لَهُمْ. There wasn't any knowledge that is beneficial except Prophet ﷺ clarified it to them. The Qur'an clarifies everything. The Sunnah clarifies in more detail. So all of the ahkam, the laws and regulations, both the fundamentals of this deen and the branches of this deen have been laid down and clarified. And the akhlaq, the mannerisms, and the etiquette, how to be, and how to live, and how to interact with the people, everything has been mentioned. The Jews said to Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, oh, your prophet, they're laughing at him, they said to him, they were mocking him and saying, oh, your prophet even tells you how to go toilet. And Salman said, na'am. He even teaches us how to go toilet. And he explained that we don't face the Qibla. We don't use our right hand to wash our private parts. Allahu Akbar. He was honorable. Not hiding away and shying away. Why should I feel shame? I'm using water. Purifying agent. And I'm cleaning myself. Alhamdulillah. What are you doing? What are you doing? You may look nice with your nice, on the outside you've got a nice, ironed, suit, head to toe covered. You can't even see a crease. But then when you go toilet, subhanAllah, it's all over the place. It's all over the place, standing up when you're urinating, splashing everywhere. What kind of tahara is that? Najis. It's dirty. It's not clean. And then you come and you want to shake the hands. Wallahi, how many people go into the toilet? They come out, you know. Didn't even wash his hands, akhi. SubhanAllah. Muslim is clean, akhi. And follows cleanliness. Tahara is a condition for your worship. There is a punishment of the grave if you don't clean yourself. So everything is cleared. Everything is finished, complete. وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُ الْمَرْجِعُ فِي جَمِيعِ الْحَقَائِقِ And all of the affairs, the Prophet is the reference point. We go back to him. We don't go back to aql, to your intellect or my intellect and his intellect, because no intellect we can unite upon. But we can unite upon the sunnah, and we can unite upon the tawheed. And then Allah, then he mentioned, Shaykh Sa'di mentioned, لا يأتيه الباطل, that this Qur'an, no futility can come to it. No deficiency can come to it. Allah left us his Qur'an, through the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, complete. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه, ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. No futility can come in front of it, nor behind it. Rather, it has been revealed from the All Wise, the One who's praised. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Don't they ponder over the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجِدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا If it had been from other than Allah, they would have found many differences in it. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَقْفَالُهَا Don't they ponder over the Qur'an? Or is there seal on their hearts? إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهَدِي لِلَّتِي يَأَقْوَمْ This Qur'an guides to that which is upright. وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِي السَّبِيلِ And Allah speaks the truth, and He guides to the straight path. إِيَ وَاللَّهُ وَيَهْدِي السَّبِيلِ So the Prophet ﷺ went out for the Hajj. Ibn Kathir رحمه الله And this we have come, alhamdulillah, to the end of Qasid al-Anbiya of Shaykh al-Sa'di. May Allah accept it from us. Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, adds to that. He said, when the Prophet ﷺ came out for the Hajj, he prayed Dhuhr on a Thursday of Dhul-Qa'dah, on the 10th year in Medina. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ مِنْهَا بِمَنْ مَعَهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Then he went out from Medina and he came to Dhul-Hulayfah. The miqat of Medina, Dhul Hulayfa, and Jabir radiallahu anhu, hadith in Sahih Muslim, long hadith, beautiful hadith. Hadith that explained by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmullah, explained by Shaykh Albani rahmullah, explained by Shaykh Ibn Baz rahmullah, and other great scholars, they explained this hadith of this time. And this hadith of Jabir. Jabir said, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Dhul Hulayfa, the miqat of Medina, فَأَهَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيد أهل بالتوحيد وإذا أهل بالتوحيد He said لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك This is توحيد And he started the Hajj اللهم لبيك بحج وعمره Because he joined the two together And he prayed two rak'ahs in the masjid And it's not incumbent to pray the two rak'ahs in the masjid in Dhul Hulayfa. You don't have to, you just have to be happen to pass by. But you can go and do your put your ihram on from your hotel, but when you come to Dhul Hulayfa, you must say the intention at Dhul Hulayfa. Allahumma labbayka bi umrah if you're going to do umrah. And if you're going to do hajj, Allahumma labbayka bi hajj. If you're going to do hajj tamattu' or qiran, Allahumma labbayka bi hajj wa umrah. Or bi umrah wal hajj. Because that's tamattu' and qiran, both of them, you have tawaf. بالبيت السعي for the umrah for tamattu you do it separately then you come out then on the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah you go back into hajj but for hajj qiran you go straight into your ihram and you continue with your ihram until the day of Eid You can do any of the two. Which one is better? If you have the Prophet himself said, لَوْ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مَسْتَدْبَرْتُ. That if I had known the difficulty in bringing the sacrificial animal, then I would have thought about it twice. I would have given it second thought. And that is, I wouldn't have brought the sacrificial animal because there's a hardship in it. I would have done the Umrah and then come out of the Umrah, meaning Tamattu'. So the Prophet ﷺ wished to do the Tamattu' and he himself said, I have put the Umrah into the Hajj. Like this. So, Umrah, they differ, the scholars differ as which is better. But it seems like because the Prophet ﷺ, he wished to have done the Tamattu', that is the best Hajj. When you do Umrah, come out of Ihram, then you go back into Ihram on the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah and you complete your Hajj. Because that is what the Prophet ﷺ wished. And other scholars, they mention, if you have a sacrificial animal, then you do Qiran. If you don't have a sacrificial animal, then you do Tamattu'. And you sacrifice, yes, you still sacrifice for the Tamattu'. But it's not a sacrificial animal that you brought from your hometown. Prophet ﷺ, he told Ali to bring 100 camels. Bring camels from Medina, from Yemen. He brought 100 camels. Prophet ﷺ with his own hands sacrificed the camel. 63 camels. Imagine that. Me and you, we're just about, if we could just do one sheep, it's a blessing. Prophet ﷺ did 63 camels. And also in some reports I read, that the camels, Prophet ﷺ didn't go to them, they came to him. The camels were loved to be sacrificed by Rasulullah ﷺ. And they were coming towards him to be sacrificed by Rasulullah ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. From his miracles. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They won't be sacrificed by his honorable hand. So the Prophet ﷺ established that which he established. And he went out for Hajj with a great number of Sahaba. And I'm going to read here. وَمَعْنَعَمْ. So he did Hajj Qiran. And there's a long story about that, but we can discuss that another time. When he got to Mecca, a large amount of Sahaba, some say more than, I'm trying to get the exact number here, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir. يُذْكَرُ فِي مُلَخَّصْ حَجَّةِ الْوَدَاعِ وَكَيْفِيَتِهَا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ ومنه وحسن توقيفه وهدايته فنقول بالله التوفيق صلى الله عليه الظهر لسه نعم they're just trying to catch the over 10,000 I remember reading of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم met the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and they came in order to do Hajj so they can see how the Prophet ﷺ did this great pillar and they can pass on that knowledge to other than themselves, for those who were not able to come out for the Hajj at that time. Naam. Naam. Just as another point of benefit, in Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ prayed Dhuhr and Asr at Dhuhr time. ثُمَّ أَصْبَعْ فَصَارَ إِلَى عَرَفَةَ وَخَطَبَ بِنَمِرَةَ. He gave khutbah at Namirah. Khutbatan عَظِيمَةَ. A great khutbah. شَهِدَهَا مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ نَحُ أَرْبِعِينَ أَلْفٍ. So that was the number. 40,000 companions bearing witness to the Hajj. Bearing witness at Arafah. 40,000. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Not like now. Now is, you know, is many. We have, MashaAllah, 2 million. But now it's very organized. I don't know if you all did Hajj. Anyone did? Did anyone do Hajj in the 90s? Huh? You did Hajj in the 90s? We have one. Anyone else? In the 90s. Anyone do Hajj in the 90s? It wasn't like now. Now, mashallah, tabarakallah, kullu shay, mukayyif, AC, hello. Huh? In the 90s, I'm talking about just about 20 years ago, how it was. Or 25 years ago. Ooh, that was different. Even the shaitan was smaller. Or the pillar signifying shaitan. It wasn't shaitan. We don't call it shaitan. Now the pillar's big. But in those days, the pillars were three, still the same. three pillars, the places where shaitan tried to influence Ibrahim alayhi salam against fulfilling the command of Allah. We don't say we're throwing stones at shaitan. No, we're throwing stones rejecting shaitan. And each stone you throw, Allah will forgive you a major sin. As come in the hadith, which is sahih. A major sin. So imagine that. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. 21 stones. Plus 21, plus 21. How many stones are you going to be throwing? 69, 7, how many stones you'll be throwing? Major sins being deleted from your life. Allah, that's why Hajj is a great act of worship. Do Hajj. Wallahi, do Hajj. Don't leave it until you're 60, 70. Who knows, you get there or not. Go for Hajj. Spend your money, do Hajj. It's a blessed act of worship with yourself, with your wealth, with your sweat. Allah is beautiful, and I wish I could do it. Back in the days, it was easier in the sense that, like now, we are only allowed once every 5 years. Back in the days, we could do it, mashallah, tabarakallah. It was allowed to do it every year. Just go and drive in. Just drive in. MashaAllah. But now you have to, it's a lot more laws and a lot more rules. But this is for the benefit of the people. Because if they didn't put rules down, there'll be too many problems. And now, mashallah, look at the Jamarat. Three levels or four levels. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You can throw the stones from wherever, from the top, from the second, third, or ground floor. Allahumma barik. Back in those days, just one floor. And then they put another floor after that. It was harder. It was more difficult. Now, mashallah, you've got TV screen telling you don't go this way, go that way. And mashallah, tabarakAllah. And still the people come in upon ignorance, not knowing how to do the Hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ came and he showed the people, 40,000 strong, how to do the Hajj. And he had completed the message. And he said, هَلْ بَلَّغْتَ اللَّهُمَّ اشْهَدْ. When they said, yes, أَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَبَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ. And then the time came for the Messenger ﷺ, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take his soul. فَأَقَامَ بِهَا ﷺ بَقِيَّةِ الْحِجَّةِ. So as he returned to, he says, so he stayed and he returned to Medina and he stayed there for a short while, and then his illness became harder upon him. The headaches increased. And he used to go to his wives, but he couldn't. And he asked for their permission if he can stay in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And they gave him permission. And he stayed there for a further 12 days. Or 14 days. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the Prophet told him to lead the prayer. Pray over the people. And Aisha radiallahu anhu said to him, but you know my father, he cries a lot in the prayer. Murru Abu Bakr yusallu bin nas. And the Prophet said, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. But ya Rasulullah, Aisha said, my father, more Abu Bakr bin Nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer. And he had to listen and he led the people in prayer. And the Prophet, one time he got up in his illness, he was trying to get up and he couldn't. He came back down again. Trying to get up for what? For the salah. This is a lesson for us. He's ill. He's 63 years old and he's still trying to get to the prayer. And he couldn't get up. Due to illness. And then he opened the curtain and he saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq leading the prayer and he smiled, showing his love and his happiness for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet, the pain increased and he would ask Aisha to bring a cloth with water to put it over his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the pain, and to cut and to bring the fever down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ عُمْرُهُ يَوْمَ مَاتْ. And then, at 63 years old, 63 سنة, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he breathed his last. And revelation after that had stopped. And it is also said that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq died at 63. And Umar al-Khattab died at 63. And Ali radiallahu anhu also reached 63 years old. And Aisha radiallahu anhu reached 63 years old. And Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned it in At-Tadhib. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't want to hear that the Prophet ﷺ had died. He didn't want to hear it for his love of Rasulullah. And he came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu told him to sit down. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu stood up and he gave them the verse. He recited them to them the verse and he said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. And what is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم except a messenger? Those who came before him were messengers also. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. That if he were to die or was killed, that you fall back on your heels. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And whoever falls back on his heels, he will not harm Allah in the least. وَسَيَجَزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And Allah will give victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give reward to the grateful ones. And he said to the people, whoever worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. But whoever worship Allah, then Allahu حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. He lives and he doesn't die. And it's as if the people only heard this verse for the first time in their life. So it's Al-Imran verse 144. And thereafter, the sadness of the people, that they didn't want to do janazah in jama'ah, but they did it alone, each one. And they cried for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know, they knew what he has brought of mercy, of kindness. And he educated them in how to be in a household, educated them in how to interact with others. He taught them the aqeedah, taught them the value of tawheed and ibadah, taught them how to be Muslim, how to be mu'min, how to be muhsin. And now revelation had stopped. Rasulullah ﷺ had passed away. And he, when he raised his finger up as he passed away, when he was asked to choose between living longer life or to be with those above. And he chose to be with those above in the highest of places. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make mention of him in the highest of places. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his rank. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us follow his sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us die upon his sunnah. Die upon tawheed and sunnah. Not compromising for anyone else. But to follow him, to respect him, to love him, to honor him, and to always value, follow that which he valued, follow that which he loved, and to take that as our life, as our deen, as our way of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these few lessons that we have covered. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings. We'll never be able to do justice to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who follow the Qasas al-Anbiya in their stories and benefiting from their stories and being following them in their paths and calling to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us with them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, with النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Isn't this what we want in our lives and the Akhirah? To be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to gain that shafa'at al-udma on the Day of Judgment, that he intercedes for the believers, he intercedes for them to raise their rank and some to come out of the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who saved his dua for you and me, for us, out of his mercy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who follow his path and be raised up with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
يَوْمَ نَلْقَاهُ. And with the Anbiya, with the Prophets and the Messengers and the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een. There isn't any other people better than them. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. This question says, if a sister gets attacked and threatened with a weapon, if she doesn't give her gold, for example, should she defend herself? If you see the situation where you're able to defend yourself, you have the ability to repel the oppressor, alhamdulillah. But if you see yourself you're not able, then do not cause harm with your own hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ لَتَّهْلُكَ. Don't cause harm with your own hands. If you're not able to repel the enemy, not able to repel a burglar, subhanAllah, in Islam, even if a burglar burgles, you're not able to, and he didn't steal anything and he's run away, let him run, don't follow him in his marks. That's Islam. But if he's got something of yours and you're able to capture them or call the police, alhamdulillah. So don't get into a situation which is going to harm you and harm your family. But if it happens that somebody comes into your house, for example, and kills you, دون ماله وعرضه, Prophet said, whoever is killed because of his honor and because of his wealth, they steal his wealth, then he dies shaheed. That is true. A man has given divorce to his wife according to the law of the land, but not Islamically. So is this still divorce? Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri says, yes, it's still divorce. If you've written it to her on a piece of paper, if you've said it over the phone and it's clear, you said the words talaq, the word talaq, or anti taliqa, there must be no ambiguity in what you have said. It must be clear. Not, I might divorce you. Or, maybe I will, it mustn't be like that. It must be clear. And if it is, if you said it, or you signed the papers for it, then it is divorce. What else is it? Khalas, if they're divorced, they're divorced. The next question is, can they inherit from each other? If they're divorced, they're divorced. They inherit from each other if they are spouses, yani husband and wife. If they're no longer husband and wife, they cannot inherit from each other. What are they going to inherit? Khalas, they're separated. Wallahu alam. What is your advice to me as someone who teaches Quran and the students cannot pronounce the letters correctly, such as ghain, ayn, and ha, and probably add to that kha, and da. Da is the hardest one. They say za, wala zalin. No, they teach them. It's all about practice. It's all about practice. Bad is a thick letter, and it's heavy. Tafkhim in huruf al-tafkhim, khussa daghtin qidh. They are the letters of which are heavy, are thick. Khussa daghtin qidh. It's even hard to say. Kha. You don't say kha. Huh? Some people read Fatiha and say, وَلَا الدَّالِينَ لَا يَا أَخِي وَيْنَ وَلَا الضَّعِ. Put all the air in it. Teach them, يَا أَخِي, with the tajweed, with the tajweed teacher. وَلَا الضَّعِ. Huh? And some people, وَلَا الدَّالِينَ, they don't prolong it. There's no mad there. It should be mad. They don't put mad there. It should be mad of six harakat. وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Six harakat. And then the next one, lean. Mad'arad al-sukun. Could be 2, 4, or 6. According to how you want. You have a choice. Ha. This makharij al-huruf is important. To learn these makharij, where the letters go by Allah. So you read Quran as it has been revealed. I said to one teacher, MashaAllah, tabarak, he has sanad. He has isnad.
I said, MashaAllah, you have isnad going back to Rasulullah SAW. He said, no, I have isnad going back to Allah. I said, Allahu Akbar. He said, because the Prophet was taught by Jibreel, and Jibreel was taught by Allah. Was taught by Allah. So he, you know, I just stayed quiet after that. I said, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, Allahumma barik. This is tajweed, ya akhi. And there's no easy way in talab al-ilm. Imagine you can recite Quran like Rasulullah SAW, like the Sahaba. It's beautiful, ya akhi. Prophet SAW asked Ubay ibn Ka'b, read the Quran. He said, I read the Quran until you was revealed. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to me to ask you to read Quran. Allah mentioned me, ya Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. And he read Quran. He said, I'd like to hear it from those other than myself. And Allah said, وَرَتِّلُ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Quran with tartil. He got to some mosques. I remember I used to go to this mosque in Portsmouth many years back when I was staying in Portsmouth for 3 years. I said, Allah salama. It was Ramadan. I got to this mosque, subhanAllah, it's like a train, ya akhi. The man's trying to finish it so quickly. Allahu Akbar, salamu alaykum, salamu. What are you doing, ya akhi? You know, the man who prayed badly. He prayed so fast. Was it a race? Pray 11 rak'ahs, long, quiet, stopping every verse. Your Fatiha especially. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. As for reading it like you are reading, subhanAllah, rushing, and you don't even know what you're saying. You're supposed to ponder the Quran. It's not something you do as a race. So my advice to you is be patient with them and remind them of the narrations, remind them of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal ladhi yaqra'u al-Qur'an fi wa huwa alayhi shaq falahu ajran. Those who read the Quran and they find it difficult, they would have two rewards: difficulty and for retrying again. They keep trying. It's beautiful. Wal mahiru bil Qur'an. مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The one who is skillful with the Qur'an will be with the highest on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say to you, read the Qur'an to the last verse you know. What is your advice on how to memorize Qur'an and techniques that help strengthen the memory? Is repetition, again, whether it's hadith or whether it is Qur'an, repetition, repeat it. And knowing its meaning will help you. And choosing a time where you're not going to be told to go shopping or told to go. Choose a time where it's quiet in the night or after Fajr. Not daytime. Go here, pick up the kids, go and get this, go and get that. You know, you get occupied. You need a time where you are mutafarrigh, where you have time to read. And also, you enjoy it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And Allah will help you. And as for tajweed, going back to tajweed, Fatiha, you must recite Fatiha properly. It's a pillar. And one of the scholars said there are 21 letters in Fatiha. As far as I remember, that's what it was. 20, it's in the book that I translated of Sheikh Nataymin's on Fatiha. I mean, he mentioned 21 letters, even with the double letters. If you miss one letter, then the salah is not correct. Because you have to recite Fatiha. La salata لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. There's no prayer for the one who doesn't recite Fatiha to Kitab. So recite Fatiha properly. That's the first thing you have to do. Recite Fatiha properly, with all of its letters fulfilled. Thus the Prophet said, make dua for his ummah in his grave. The Prophet completed what is upon him. But the authentic narration that did come upon us is that when you make dua, when you send salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it reaches the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is true. That is a hadith which is authentic. But as for him making dua in the grave for his ummah, the Prophet already made dua for his ummah when he was alive. As for his grave, then anyone who says that must bring the proof. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillah. say also raisins are good for you, huh? To help you memorize. Raisins. Allahu alam. Me, the best way is to write it down. To repeat it and to write it. I saw this from my father, rahimahullah, who memorized the Quran, and he used to recite it every Friday. He used to finish. I said to him in Ramadan, I said, MashaAllah, I finished it once, ya Abi. He says, I finished it 4 times. And I look small. Like, just look down at myself and say, Maskeen, Abdullah, I'm maskeen. You know, you start a verse with him, you finish it. How he used to memorize? He used to get, like the old school, get a loha, a wooden plank, and get this ink they call smuck, which is actually from the soil or some mixture they used to have. And he used to write it. Then he would wipe it. After he memorized it 20, 30 times, repeated it, he would wipe it, then he would write it, then he would wipe it, then he would write it. And I found that writing, along with reading, and along with the hearing, wallahi, if you use all these faculties, you'll remember the. And also, if it is a story, it's easier to remember. Quran, if you start looking at it and you see that there is a pattern or like a story that's mentioned, a story, like Surah Yusuf. Some surahs are easier to memorize than others. And you remember there's a qissa and you follow the qissa. No, you don't start from the end and then go to the middle and then go to. No, you start from the beginning and you follow the qissa. No, Surah Maryam is like that. Surahs are all like that. Allah has made Quran easy to memorize. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who memorize the Quran. Ya Allah, Quran is good to memorize, to recite in your prayers, repeat it in your prayers, and listen to your children. Get your children to correct. When we used to go on journeys, if we go Makkah to, if we go Medina to Makkah, I'll get my children to listen to read a portion. Ya Allah, correct me, and you read. Ya Allah, children going to school. Ya Allah, read. So it's Naba. Ya Allah. Read the Abbas, Allah, and just listen to them on the, and just getting them to memorize, and you're getting them to learn. Learn young. Subhanallah. Learn young. Yes, and I remember hearing Sheikh Rabi'i said, teach your children Quran. Teach your children Quran. Alhamdulillah, we put our children all in Quran school. And Allah will give them dunya and deen, inshaAllah. Yes, we're not fearful for that. Allah will bless them, give them Quran first. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings with our children. But alhamdulillah, when you see the fruits, you say alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik. Hayakumullah. Ahlan sahlan. Jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, when we come back again, we're going to travel, and when we come back again, we'll start a new book. Inshallah.